If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Mars. We need to search for intelligent life in Major League Baseball commissioner's office. I've never seen anything like this. You know, Commissioner Manfred has a fiduciary responsibility to Major League Baseball. His job is to do the very best that he can not to suck. And he has failed that.
When does he say something that I don't like? I don't know. That's Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. Welcome to the show, everybody. We got some things to discuss. And a lot of stuff to discuss, actually. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter. So, where to start? Let me ask you. I'm going to let you guys decide. What kind of Dana do you want today? So here's the deal. I don't mind. I don't care if a company has an opinion. I don't care if you have an opinion about something. I don't care if you have an opinion about Georgia's law. I just don't even care. Here's the thing, though. If you're going to sit here and bitch and moan about it, be correct. I mean, that seems like it's a prerequisite to be out there and yelling at everybody about your opinion. It seems like that's a prerequisite to just make sure that you're in some way accurate. And that's what I apply to this whole conversation as it relates to Georgia and their voting law, etc. And I see companies out there, and I don't mind if companies have an opinion either. I even believe dollars are speech. Remember how the left doesn't, but I do? Okay. So I'm all for this. Again, though, just be correct. Just be correct in what you're talking about. Don't dislike something just because the other side likes it. If you dislike something, make sure that you are basing your dislike of that something on an actual fact. Very important. So this is where I start getting sassy. So we can either be polite, Dana, or take no prisoners, Dana. It's just kind of up to you. Because I spent this morning doing some research on all these companies that have been saying, I'm going to virtue signal. I just don't know if I can abide by Georgia's anti-voting law. And that's pretty much how they're spinning it. So I did a little research. I shared some of it this morning. I did a little research on a lot of these companies that are out there, and it was really interesting what I found. For instance, maybe we've had this conversation before. The Patagonia people. Do you guys know the Patagonia? Okay, so let me explain some to you. I don't mind outdoor wear. I do think it's hysterical when a pair of shorts are like $159. There's certain things I will spend my money on and certain things I won't spend my money on. And before we begin, if you think that you're going to come sideways at me with the stuff that you buy from China, Kane, yeah. Kane, you might have to set some people straight.
That's true.
Because you guys know how nuts I am about this stuff. I spent 2.5 months looking for damn marble for a blanking pastry board that wasn't sourced or in any way manufactured in China.
Don't trust China. China is ass.
I ended up getting it from Taiwan, which to me was like sending a giant marble middle finger to China. because I hate communism with the burning passion of a thousand suns. If I saw communism walking in a crosswalk, I'd speed up, hit it, reverse, back up, forward, hit it again, reverse, back up, forward, hit it again, reverse, back up, forward, hit it again. Just for fun. So that's kind of how I feel about communism. So I'm very, very careful. The shirt that I'm wearing right now is made in the USA. Jeans I'm wearing right now made in the USA. I don't mind paying more for things that are made in the USA. And I mean, I look from where they get their blanking cotton. The cotton in the shirt came from India. That's how nuts I am. So if you're going to come sideways at me, oh my gosh, pack a lunch, not just for yourself when I eat it, but also another one because I'm hungry. So that being said, I was looking at the Patagonia people this morning. The Patagonia. This is, it's outdoor clothing for, now granted, there are some people who actually wear this stuff to go outdoors, but by and large, I found that the people who wear Patagonia and are very virtue signaling about wearing the Patagonia are also the people who really don't spend a lot of time outside. And they run outside in their Patagonia and they take selfies and then they run back inside and sit on their ass and get on Instagram. That's what they do. These people that always have the Patagonia on, they're never without Wi-Fi. Interesting that. So anyway, I do mean to pick on Patagonia and all the people who are defending it this morning. I do. So Patagonia, they went out and they want you to know they are quite upset, ladies and gentlemen. The Patagonia people, they are much upset with the law in Georgia. Patagonia. I've always wondered what a company that makes $169 cotton shorts thinks about voting law in Georgia. So what they came out and they decided to donate. They're donating money to not just what they say are voting rights in Georgia, but they also want to get H.R. 1 passed. And they are very, you guys, they're very, they just prioritize voting rights. They're going to donate $1 million to all these voting rights groups. They issued a press release. And I was looking at it, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's a bunch of virtue signaling stuff. They're going to, they want to fund the Black Voters Matter Fund, a bunch of other League of Women Voters, ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a hate group. So those are the people that they want to fund. And they said that they want safe and secure elections, and they're blasting, this is their CEO, Ryan Gellert, protecting our democracy is an all hands on deck commitment, blah, blah, blah. And they're positioning, they're characterizing Georgia's law as a quote unquote attack on democracy. Really interesting. Attack on democracy. Attack on democracy. They really value voting rights. I mean, if you ask them, Patagonia, what do you think about voting rights? Oh my gosh, it's so important. Protecting democracy is just is so important. We need to make sure that we're protecting access, protecting all of this stuff. They're very, very, this is, they're very serious about this. Okay. All right. So I decided, I wonder how serious they are. Because, you know, a lot of companies out there, they really talk a good game about being serious about this stuff, but they really aren't. The majority of Patagonia stuff is manufactured in China. From their own website, of the 43 factories we currently contract with to make Patagonia products, 13 are in China, 9 are in the U.S. Far more of our products are made by those Chinese suppliers than they are by U.S. factories because of their expertise and price. So they are admitting that they want cheap labor. Patagonia, the people who are so concerned about voting rights that they make the majority of their products in a communist country where people can't vote. Patagonia, that's so concerned about access to liberty and democracy and freedom that they make the majority of their products in a country that, again, a communist country where the people can't vote, that have internment camps and commit genocide. And, oh, what else do they do? Oh, forced labor. They are engaged in all of these things. Just so some of the tubby, stubbly guys out there who are super thirsty and bitching at me in my timeline with their Patagonia selfie avatars can defend this company. I'm just curious, the $130 jumpsuit that they make, I'm just wondering how much of that $130 actually goes towards those lower paying workers in communist China for Patagonia. You know, because they're so concerned about voting rights. I'm wondering about this. How much? Very interesting. Or what about those? How much were those stupid shorts? They were, those are the dirt crap bike shorts. $159. I could make these for you. I could make these for you for like a fraction of that price. I'm not going to because I've got crap to do, but I could. I don't care what they charge for their clothes. I'm a capitalist. What I don't like is the inconsistency and the hypocrisy. And don't sit here and be a progressive and be like, I can't believe you're whining about capitalism. Wait a minute. You mean being forced to make crap in a communist country's capitalism? What? Hi, do you know what governments are? Oh my gosh. So ridiculous. But this is, I'm telling you, we're going to go through some of these other companies. If Patagonia gave an actual consonant F about voting rights, they would close up their manufacturing in China. Because China's, when is the last time that people in communist China have been able to vote? Don't tell me that their workers are taken care of. Do you seriously, honestly believe that communist China allows people to inspect their factories? I don't trust a company that pretends to care about voting rights but allows a communist country that doesn't allow its people to vote to manufacture its stuff. I don't trust them in telling me that their people are taken care of, because I don't trust them after they demonstrably don't recognize this insane irony. So they admit even on their website that they like cheap labor. I'm bringing this up to you because this is actually most of the companies that are bitching very loudly about Georgia's law. I do not allow corporations who are hypocritical to dictate how I should feel about certain policy. In fact, I don't let anybody dictate to me how I should feel about certain policy. We're going to talk more about this. Also, has Asa Hutchinson actually ever seen a conservative? So, like all of you, I had an arrested development moment last night. The chicken episode, particularly when I was watching Asa Hutchinson talk to my friend Tucker, and he was politically dying on the hill that is kitty chemical castration. The guy who signed a face mask mandate in the state of Arkansas wants you to know that conservatives just can't get involved in every single issue. Come on, you know, except for kitty chemical castration. That is the hill he's going to politically die on. We've got to talk about that, and also talk about how a lot of people don't understand the concept of limiting government. We're also going to get into tech. There's going to be a big, bad bust up on social media. It's coming. We're also going to detail how the media is setting you up for another summer of riots. I've got that. Caitlyn Jenner is going to run for California governor. I will never, ever, I will call Caitlyn Caitlyn. You can't tell me what pronouns to use because I don't believe in the patriarchy controlling my speech. I will say him. You're not a part of the sisterhood, but I'd totally vote for him over Gavin Newsom. I would totally vote for Caitlyn Jenner. Oh, hell yes, I would. Because Caitlyn Jenner was an Olympic athlete and was able to make a lot of money afterwards and was even able to, like, capitalize on this. And it is, I mean, I trust the motivations of a capitalist. I trust the motivations of self-serving people. If you always go where they're going to go, you're going to get served. I'm just saying, you can predict behavior. We're going to get into all of this stuff. We got a lot to get into today, and you don't want to miss a single bit of it, right? A lot. Oh, and then later on, we're also going to talk to the owner of Tin Horn Flats. He's out of jail now. We told you a little bit about what was happening, the city of Burbank and what they were doing to Tin Horn Flats, this restaurant, the pettiest, statist stuff that you've ever seen. We're going to talk about it, so don't go anywhere. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So the athlete formerly known as Bruce, Caitlyn Jenner, is exploring a run for California governor as a Republican, which... that's anybody's better than Gavin Newsom. And I actually don't think, I just think that Caitlyn Jenner would get kind of pushed around by some of the swampersons in, you know what I mean? In Sacramento, I just kind of think that because he seems too nice. Like Caitlyn Jenner just seems too nice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Anyway, but he's being assisted in this consideration by a longtime GOP fundraiser. They've been working through the American Unity Fund, which is a GOP nonprofit that looks at LGBT stuff. Ren previously worked at Trump Victory, so is apparently part of the Trump camp. That is that. Very interesting. And of course, you know, the recall against Newsom is ongoing. And it's not just Republicans that have launched that. I have to correct that. That is not just Republicans. There's a lot of Democrats. I'm sorry. When you see Justine Bateman out there signing petitions, Justine Bateman ain't no Republican. People are just mad all over. I'm just telling you. I told you so about this. This comes from NBC. And they did, and it's not just NBC. I have another story that NPR had touched on. They said that a lot of buildings, office buildings, are opening back up, but not all employees are returning because people still have anxiety over the virus. But also, I think some of the anxiety is completely made up because people want to retain the flexibility of working from home, which kind of makes sense. Also, Japan is poised to allow the Coast Guard to fire on Chinese vessels in new legislation. They ain't playing around. They're considering new legislation that's going to radically alter how the Japanese Coast Guard behaves towards foreign vessels in Japan's waters. But it also could, if they're Chinese vessels involved, inadvertently hurl the region towards some conflict. We have a lot more to discuss. Tech is heading for a showdown. And man, old man Hutchinson, what is up? Stick with us.
Why do the Democrats want open borders even though it damages national security and the people who are crossing the southern border are brutalized by the drug cartels? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, we discuss this and how Dr. Fauci continues to move the COVID goalposts with North Carolina Congressman and Dr. Greg Murphy. We'll also highlight the huge threat to your personal liberty through vaccine passports and how our children are now in the COVID police crosshairs. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Mr. President, do you think the Masters golf tournament should be moved out of Georgia?
I think that's up to the Masters. Look, it is reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws are just antithetical to who we are. There's another side to it, too. The other side to it, too, is when they, in fact, move out of Georgia, the people who need the help the most, people who are making hourly wages, sometimes get hurt the most. I think it's a very tough decision for a corporation to make or a group to make. But I respect them when they make that judgment.
So this is obviously, that's President Biden who is saying that Georgia increasing access. And if, by the way, we ain't even having a discussion on this. Either you've read the law or you haven't. And if you're denying that it actually expands access, you haven't read the law. I will fight you on that. It's in the text of the law. WTF. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I'm actually in a pretty good mood, but I was really hoping for Jim Eagle, you know, because eagles are bigger than crows, man. That's the thing he loves to go back to. I mean, he would know what Jim Crow is, you know, considering that he was a big old segregation supporter for education. Remember that? So, I mean, if anybody's an expert on Jim Crow, it's the guy who supported, you know, segregation in schools and also eulogized a Klan member. So I would expect Joe Biden to know. Goodness, it's like asking Colonel Sanders about chicken. So, but this law is not quote unquote Jim Crow. Everything is so stupid in society, honestly. It's not even Idiocracy, it's South Park with dumber people, though. That's what we live in. Good heavens. It is not like that, though. But he immediately doubled down on it. He was also asked that they won't answer about the whether or not they're going to still have the United States will participate in the Olympics in Beijing. We haven't had that conversation. He won't address it in any of the pressers yet. Whew. But I just don't. I don't see how this. I don't know how long they can keep this up. I was thinking about this last night when I was working on one of the pieces that I'm sending out today. If you subscribe to the newsletter Chapter and Verse, and I was thinking about this, like, how does this, you know, what's the end game? How does this play out? They're not going to get Georgia to change their law. And they're actually, you have people like, I told you how John Ossoff is freaking out. He's realizing where the crazy train is going. And Stacey Abrams, failed romance writer Stacey Abrams, is now also freaking out because she's realizing how many black-owned businesses are going to be just pummeled by the decision to move the All-Star Game. $100 million from one county. And they're all trying to pump the brakes. Jen Psaki is trying to walk it back because this is going to explode on them. Did I share with you the polling on nationally? I think this was, there was a Rasmussen, we had a Gallup. Let me pull this up on my notes because I don't know. Did I share any of that with you guys yesterday? Polling, well, the best poll, and I think this was an AP poll. It was across the board, voters actually support the law. In fact, one poll had it +6 nationally. Georgia voting law changes, they're fine with Americans. More Americans support it than oppose it. Morning Consult, they found 42-36. There were a couple of, there are actually two different polls out there. They actually, and by and large, people support the new law. And just to recap, the new law expanded early voting. I don't even agree with the new law. I don't think they should have expanded early voting. I don't think they should have made permanent these drop boxes for ballots. Those ballot boxes were only out there, the extra ones where you could drop your stuff in, they were only out there for the pandemic. There was nothing legally that kept them out there until this law was passed that actually made it to where they stay out there now. And they have to be secured, et cetera, et cetera. The whole electioneering thing by polls, that's in every state. But to say that it somehow limits access is just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. So that's why the Biden administration is now they're freaking out a bit. That's why you got some Democrats freaking out a bit, because they see the numbers. They see what's going on. So a couple of other things. Asa, Asa, I was going to make a joke about putting the A-S in. I don't know. I'm just saying. Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas. He was on my friend Tucker's show last night. And I had to send you out another newsletter just based on that, because it was that crazy. I watched this. I was on primetime last night, and I knew, I'd heard that Hutchinson was going to be on with Tucker. And he's, if you're unfamiliar, had, he kind of did what Kristi Noem did. He vetoed this bill about hormone treatment and what is essentially chemical castration. And it's weird because his defense of it is that it's not a limited government position. Now, we're talking about minors, okay? We're talking about kids. This is, and also, it doesn't make sense that he chooses some things and acts like it's a conservative position, but other things aren't. Like, this is the guy who signed the mask mandate in effect into his state. Hutchinson signed the mask mandate. He thinks that's a conservative position to get in, but when it concerns minor children and the reckless administration of hormones, and I absolutely do think that it is absolutely reckless and abusive when you're doing it, when you're dealing with kids and this stuff, but it's chemical castration. So he goes on the show. I did make a lot of fun of it last night. He goes on the show and it's the weirdest 9 minutes. I'm not playing the whole thing. It's just one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I don't know who in their right mind said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Why don't you go ahead and go on Tucker's show? It sounds like a great idea. I'm like, does Hutchinson even know what a conservative is? I mean, all the hills this dude could politically die on, and he picks kitty chemical castration. So he says, conservatives shouldn't be involved in every issue, says the guy who signed a mask mandate while discussing whether minor children should be given hormones and chemically castrated. And then he would try to name drop Reagan's name and Buckley's name a million times as though it was like a special spell that would defend him. Listen to some of this. This is crazy.
I said I hadn't. Let me emphasize, Tucker, you are a conservative. You have a great background in that. Where are we getting back to the limited role of government that we don't have to invoke ourselves in every societal position out there? Let's limit the role of government.
Okay,
let's
then let parents then, and then doctors why don't make we decisions.
Allow- that's a weird... Wow. And I liked what Tucker's, which would have been my follow-up. I liked his follow-up. He's like, well, but we have like drinking age laws. Kids can't drive cars. They can't drink. They can't join the military. They can't get married. I mean, are you saying that for Hutchinson to be consistent, the argument has to be that he thinks all of those are big government things? Like, do you know what a conservative is, dude? Have you ever seen a chicken? Caw-caw, caw-caw, caw-caw. Doo-loo-loo, doo-loo-loo. It's not even what it is. Not even what it is. This interview was bonkers. And then he would, throughout the interview, he would say, well, you know, Ronald Reagan, he'd say something insane, and then he'd go, well, Ronald Reagan, wait, what? I mean, kitty chemical castration's a conservative position. Tucker makes Tucker confused face. Reagan? Buckley?
Reagan? Got some real ones.
What is that even?
It's chicken squat.
What the hell is that, Steve? That's not... Oh, forevermore. That's not what we were talking about.
That sounded sick.
That sounded crazy. But just because somebody has an R after their name, it doesn't mean that they're a conservative or even a Republican, I think, anymore. It really means jack squat. The whole framing should be economically... statism versus capitalism, and in general, statism versus freedom. That's the whole framing of everything. And for this guy to go out there, well, I don't think it's a conservative position, Tucker, to not chemically castrate kids. I mean, you know, we can't get involved in everything. Tucker makes confused Tucker face. I mean, somebody had to have been in that room with Hutchinson going, stop it! Stop talking! Stop it! Somebody had to have been. Reagan Buckley? What was going through his head? And there was at one point where he decided he was going to be sassy. Like back in the days of yore when you would go, when it was somewhat new to be combative on cable news, remember? With politicians, at least. Well, if you would let me answer the question. There was a delay there, Smarty Pants, for the love. But also, that answer was bonkers. That was the most bonkers damn thing I've ever heard. That's the hill you're going to die on politically, is kiddie chemical castration. Signing a mask, making everybody wear a virtue diaper on their face. That falls within the line of conservatism. But chemically castrating kids, well, I mean, Tucker, well, you know, if they want to do that, they need to do it. Is he going to go join the Lincoln Project after this? Because it seems like Hutchinson would be a great candidate for membership. Holy hell. I mean, minors, should they be protected? I don't know. Yes, Kane? Yes, please. Let's have more.
Then why don't we allow 18-year-olds to drink beer in Arkansas? Why don't we allow them to get tattoos? Why don't we allow 15-year-olds to get married? You vetoed a bill that would have protected children, not adults, children, to whom a different standard applies, from a life-altering permanent procedure that has effects we can only guess at, but the early indication is they're very serious and very negative in some cases. And now you're telling me you do that because you're a friend of limited government? Okay, then why are we preventing kids from drinking? Sincere question. Or getting married? Sincere question. Having sex. They're not old enough to have sex, but they're old enough to be chemically castrated? How does that work exactly? I'll listen as you explain.
Well, thank you, Tucker. And first of all, these are difficult decisions. Do you want to listen to the medical profession? Do you want to listen to professional counselors? Do you want to listen to parents? Or do you want to leave all these decisions to the legislators that come from all different kinds of background? Yes, they're elected to represent you, but they do not necessarily...
So basically, Hutchinson, and remember, you have to look at these issues. The issue particularly in question is a variable. So just substitute child marriage. Well, you know, we should let the legislature, Tucker, be the decision maker on this. We should allow, you know, if somebody wants to marry a kid, then they can. I mean, that it's. Well, I hope he didn't have any plans to do anything else after this interview, because his career is pretty much done. Never seen anyone torch themselves in such a fashion before. Did you ever think that in 2021 you would see a Republican actually commit political seppuku with kiddie chemical castration? Jiminy. Yeah. We have a lot more to discuss, so I don't want y'all to go anywhere, because we're not done making fun of people, nowhere near close. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter chapter and verse. I'm so fascinated. All of the people who suddenly just don't care about voting rights when it comes to defending the communist China manufactured overpriced outdoor wear for posers. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And we're going to look at all the companies that are complaining about voting rights in Georgia, all of their relationships with communist China where people can't vote. Mm-hmm. You need to be loud about this stuff. Someone was trying to say, are you talking from your iPhone? Actually, that was an actual tweet someone sent to me. Because I, first off, you know how stupid that is? What relevance does that have on people not being able to vote in China? Also, does it hurt being that stupid? Because you realize that Apple has relocated manufacturing for a lot of its stuff from China, right? Oh, you didn't? You mean you just willingly walked into this argument with me to have your ass handed to you? Oh my gosh. Yes, I am going to be snotty about this, because and you should be too. Truth is on your side. Foxconn Tech is the primary assembler of the devices. And a lot of this is actually something that began a couple of years ago, and it got noticed around 2019. What does it mean when something's made in? And a lot of Apple stuff, like the newer iPhones and all of that, they were moving manufacturing from China to not just the United States, but also elsewhere. And so that is, it's unfortunate that people are that dumb. It really is. But it doesn't change the fact at all that China is a communist country that doesn't allow their people to vote. And these people are defending a communist country where people aren't able to vote. Okay. I didn't realize that they were okay with forced labor and genocide camps and everything else. So coming up, we're going to look at some of these companies, because I think we need to shine a light on them. We're going to talk about some of these companies and where all of the business that they do with a communist country where people can't vote, and they're very, very upset about Georgia. Also, we will discuss the Supreme Court and the potential, well, it's going to happen at some point, the social media speech, deplatforming, all of that. We're going to get into that in a more. So stick with us. More of the show coming up. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
I mean, it's insane. I mean, you compare where Major League Baseball is headquartered in New York, and I've talked to that issue to nauseam, really, about the discrepancies in how they're boycotting and pulling games out of a state like ours, yet they're headquartered in a state that's more restricted than we are. I mean, it just doesn't add up. And I will tell you, the people here and all over the country have figured this out. They are outraged, and they are sick and tired of the cancel culture.
That is Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, and he is correct on that. And I think people are tired of it, especially when it's something over just something that's totally BS. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Second hour of our program. Make sure you go to visit danalash.com, subscribe to the newsletter chapter and verse, and where you can watch the simulcast of the radio program on the first. And also make sure you stop by Facebook, see past interviews. We're going to be coming up a little bit later on in the show. One of the stories that we were been following is the whole situation with Tin Horn Flats, which is this restaurant that's been fighting with Burbank. They've been trying to shut them down because of the coronavirus. I read that they put sandbags in front of their entryways yesterday, and they were threatening to arrest people that moved them. So we're going to talk with the owner of Tin Horn Flats later on in the program. And his son, who the owner of the Barrett LePagian, who's the owner of Tin Horn Flats, his son, Lucas, they took him to jail for a couple of times. Yeah, three times, because they're saying that they tried to shut, even though all the other businesses are reopening. Well, Tin Horn Flats, you didn't shut down in the beginning, so you got to shut down now and then reopen. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we're gonna talk with them and tell you about that that whole story. So, like I said, I think Georgia Governor Brian Kemp is absolutely correct there. Now, here's audio soundbite 18. Texas Governor, I'm talking about cancel culture. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, after everything with Georgia, has said, no, I don't want nothing to do with Major League Baseball. Listen.
So is it fair to say then if Major League Baseball had said, we're not going to go to Denver, we'd like to come to Texas and have this game in Dallas or Houston, that you would have rejected that?
Absolutely. No, we want to have nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Well, and good for him. Good for him. It's ridiculous. All of this is so insane. And the loss to that area. So I was telling you a little bit earlier about just the companies and the hypocrisy of these companies that are just trying to blast Georgia because they haven't read Georgia's law. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or not. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're going to get mad about something, just make sure it's accurate and you're factual about it, right? I mean, just it's simple. Tell the truth about it. Very, very simple. I mean, it's defamation. I don't know what else you want to call it. About this law. And how many people have not read it? They had Brad Raffensperger who wrote an editorial and it got all the Democrats in the state mad. But and by the way, remember that this voting law enjoys +6 favorability. It's approval, rather. You have expanded early voting. They don't do signature matching on ballots. Colorado does signature matching on ballots. That's one of the things that Jen Psaki, when they try to sit here and act like Colorado's laws are better, that they don't tell you Colorado's laws are the same. Actually, they're more restrictive. They have, you can have poll workers from neighboring counties if needed. If neighboring counties have enough of their own staff, they've made it to where, you know, they have a chain of custody for the ballots. Nothing's going to get lost. I mean, it is the ridiculousness that is being spread about this manufactured narrative of lack of access. I mean, no. By the way, studies have shown that voter ID laws don't actually decrease turnout. And they don't end voting hours early. Even the Washington Post gave Biden 4 Pinocchios over the stuff that he was saying about Georgia's laws, which... By the way, how is it that the Washington Post can give Biden 4 Pinocchios and on the stuff that he's saying about Georgia's law and everyone else is just repeating it and that's taken as fact? Everybody else is just repeating the crap that he's saying. This is about whipping up outrage and using it to pass H.R. 1. That's it. By the way, 97%, over 97% of Georgia's voters, they have a driver's license number that's associated with their voter registration card. And the IDs are free. Photo IDs in Georgia are free. Whew. Craziness. But let's turn our attention to the companies that have been complaining. Now, as I said earlier, and I'm going to get to the others, Patagonia was one of the companies. They do the bougie outdoor wear. They are super mad over Georgia's law, and they said that they're going to be donating to hate groups like Southern Poverty Law Center to fight for voting access, and they were smearing and putting out a bunch of misinformation about Georgia's law. And it's fascinating because on their own website, they say that there are 13 different factories through which they manufacture the bulk of their product. Most of the Patagonia's product is made in China. And China is a communist country that not only has internment camps, but they also don't allow voting. And so I call a big fat BS on Patagonia's virtue signaling and pretending to care about voting rights, because if they cared about voting rights, they wouldn't be manufacturing their cheap labor forced goods in a country that doesn't even allow its people to vote because communists, right? Right. And they even say, and I very helpfully provided, now you got a post coming out about this later, I'll quote from you from Patagonia.com, their own website. Quote, of the 43 factories we currently contract with to make Patagonia products, 13 are in China, 9 are in the U.S. Far more of our products are made by those Chinese suppliers than they are by U.S. factories because of their expertise and price. So they admittedly say that they rely on communist Chinese labor because it's cheap labor and they can get away with making more of a profit from having cheap labor. I mean, Dems de rules, right? And it's been fascinating to watch all these people defending Patagonia manufacturing the bulk of its products in a communist country with internment camps, a country that does not even allow its workers to vote, while also simultaneously pretending to give a crap about voting rights. No, if Patagonia really cared, they'd stop all their production. They'd cease manufacturing their goods in China. They wouldn't use communist country where people can't vote to, that's really where they get all their money. The $1 million that they're donating to hate groups like Southern Poverty Law Center is coming from the profit that they made on cheap communist Chinese labor in a country where people can't vote. Interesting. So all these groups that are taking this money are hypocrites too. If you're taking any Patagonia's money, you're taking money that was made using the labor from a communist country where people can't vote, where they have internment camps. So you're just as bad. All y'all are hypocrites because nobody, this isn't about voting rights. None of these people give a rat's ass about voting rights. None of them care. None of them care. It's not about voting rights. Not a single bit of it. And it's not just them. Let me pull up some of my other notes about this. It's not just them either. I told you yesterday, Coca-Cola. Remember how Coca-Cola expanded its beverage production in China? Now, Coca-Cola's really mad, you guys, about Georgia's voting law. But they also expanded. They've opened half a dozen new production facilities in China. Communist China. The new bottling capacity will cost approximately $36 million. They're going to crank out $244 million worth of soda and other soft drinks. Imagine. Yeah, they've expanded their production. By the way, it was very important to note that their CEO, James Quincy, he said that, and let me direct quote him, because during the coronavirus, they said that communist China provided a bright spot because their revenue declined. Chief Executive Officer James Quincy said, quote, "In China, we placed a big emphasis on our sparkling portfolio during the height of the lockdown." Wow. So Coca-Cola, who is so mad about Georgia actually expanding voting access, but they won't disengage from communist China. No, they just expanded their business there. Pretty amazing. Major League Baseball, H&M. Oh, H&M, they got in a big old fight actually with Apple Maps in China. Major League Baseball actually contracted to work with a communist Chinese firm that parted ways with NBA because an NBA executive defended the Freedom Fighters for Democracy in Hong Kong. Now, if any of these individuals if any of these companies actually cared about voting rights, they would prove it by ceasing manufacturing and business relationships in communist China. But they don't, because that would actually require a real sacrifice. And they don't want to sacrifice. They want to make money and virtue signal. See, the difference between these companies and you, if you have to buy a product from China, most of us, I think, avoid it, right? Like I said, I'm wearing a shirt that was made right here in the USA, sourced from India cotton, and jeans that were made in here in the USA. I'm nuts about this stuff. Like, you don't want to fight with me on it. I took, a couple of weeks just to find a wooden spoon that wasn't manufactured in China. I needed more wooden spoons. I ended up buying a bunch of stuff on Etsy. Yeah, my marble roller, because I do a lot of pastry stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm crazy about it, as Kane will attest. Because every time I find something, I come in, I'm like, guys. Like, here's how crazy it is. Sidebar. I actually investigated and I was looking at all of the labor, tanning, and leather that's made with luxury goods, like, you know, like women's handbags and all this stuff. There are so many companies out there that would outsource it either for manufacture in China or, and this was one of the reasons why they were saying that the virus spread so quickly in Italy, because the Prato area of Italy, and this was around Fashion Week in Milan, so much of that has been purchased by Chinese business, and there has been a lot of tension in that area because accusations from Italian authorities that people who are working in these factories that are manufacturing these luxury goods, you know, etc., A lot of these authorities are saying that these people aren't even here legally, aren't even in Italy legally doing this. And so there's been a lot of discussion, back and forth discussion about that. And there are ways and marketplaces to get authentically made Italian stuff using this, the skill sets, and, you know, that's been honed over generations, etc. But it's actually kind of amazing. I mean, they were talking about labels like Prada, and I think some of the only ones that you can count on that are not made either with questionable labor or in China are like Louis Vuitton and some other ones. And it's kind of a, it was amazing to look into that. I've gone that deep into this stuff. So the difference, though, between you having to purchase something from China because there isn't another option, and all of this is that you're not trying to be an arbiter of voting. Furthermore, you don't own companies in China. And you're not out there trying to shame everyone else, and you're doing more to bring back manufacturing to the United States than these entities and these people supporting these entities' hypocritical actions are. So there's your difference. When they can't defeat the premise, they try to attack the messenger. It's the logical fallacies of the last refuge of the week.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so a new Utah law requires fathers to pay 50% of pregnancy costs. They say the bill will apply to pregnancy-related medical costs and health insurance premiums. It was signed by Governor Spencer Cox. It was a bill sponsored by Republican Representative Brady Brammer. Brady Brammer, what a name. Brady Brammer. Some states, like New York and Wisconsin, they have similar financial provisions for pregnancies, and some were wondering whether or not this is going to have any kind of impact on abortion rates in the state. But they said that in cases where the child's paternity is disputed, the father won't need to pay until the paternity is established. Fathers also will not be liable to pay for abortions carried out without their consent, except in cases of rape or when the mother's life is endangered, et cetera, et cetera. That's something that they, just this week, they had signed. The world's richest man supports raising corporate tax rate. Jeff Bezos. I mean, nothing's stopping him from voluntarily writing a check to the U.S. Department of Treasury. And he only supports raising the corporate tax rate because he can afford to raise it to whatever the hell he wants to raise it to. He can afford to do that, whereas not everyone else can. Not every other entity can. So that I take with a grain of salt. Almost half of the United States' coronavirus cases are in five states. New York, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and at the bottom of the list, Florida. But New York is the lead. I mean, they've had, 52,922 cases last week? That's about 7,506 a day, or 560 a day. Ooh, and that San Francisco school board, they finally killed off that idea to change the school names. And apparently redheads feel less pain, according to research. Stick with us.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
DanaLash.com, because we do a radio show right now, live, like right now, not something else. DanaLash.com. Find me on social media. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter as well. Some of the things that we've been talking about, the Major League Baseball stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the other things that I want to touch on as well is some of the stuff that's been happening. Let me pull this up. With the Chauvin trial. I don't know how this is going to end up because I just don't know. I don't know how this is going to end up. I mean, I know that the way that it was presented to the jury was, you know, it's be, you know, do you, are there any, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, etc. And it was, do you think that they're questioning whether or not, or the way that the defense is putting it, is they're questioning whether or not having, you know, a knee on someone's neck was the only thing that contributed to it, or was like the fentanyl, etc. Was that, did that also aid in it? And that's what they're hinging the defense on. And the whole thing to me seems weird. That's because I mean, I watched the full video. I watched the body cam video footage. I've watched everything. And no, I don't think that George Floyd was cooperating with police. And that, because it's the video that's out there. I've watched all the, what was it, the stuff that's the video that was on Chauvin's shoulder and then video that's elsewhere. We were watching all this. And I don't know. I think that's just like speculation at this point to say that he had ingested, or that, because there are arguments that he was overdosing when they took him into custody. And I don't know how anybody can make that case from just watching the video. And they were looking at his toxicology report and all of that stuff. And then there was a Daily Mail piece yesterday where the argument was that he is the guy who was in the car with him, his friend, did not want to testify because he didn't want to incriminate himself. That he hasn't received immunity, and they don't want him to incriminate himself in what could be potentially, if they're trying to argue and they successfully do, that drugs or overdose or whatever was enough of a factor in his death that they can't get Chauvin on the charge that they want, then that sets this guy up for a potential third degree murder charge. Maurice Lester Hall, he was in the car with Floyd. And in one of the videos, he's the guy, he's got the hat on. He's like leaning out of the passenger side, like, I'm not going nowhere. And he was just, sitting there cooperating. And he's the one who stands accused of giving the counterfeit $20. There was questions as to where Floyd got it and where Floyd got his drugs and all this other stuff. But this guy is saying, well, I don't have immunity, so I don't want to be, I don't want to, I don't want to testify. And I don't, they're going to have to figure out how they're going to do that, because I do understand the legal ramifications of him testifying. Because if he goes in there, like I said, and says, yeah, I gave him whatever drug, what are they trying to say? Fentanyl? Oh yeah, I gave him that. And if that ends up, if they conclude, if the court and the jury determines that that had some part to play, enough of a part to play that it provides that reasonable doubt and prevents Derek Chauvin's conviction, because that's all it is. If there's any kind of reasonable doubt, that's how it's set up, then this guy could get up on a murder charge. They could charge him next. He doesn't have any immunity. So I don't, and he has not wanted to testify. So they're trying to work that out and figure out how that's going to happen. But I'm just watching, because there's a lot of stuff that I don't think that I've looked at everything. I've looked at some of the most speculative stuff from both sides. And I just still do not agree with the hold that Chauvin used. Because you got to look at it like this. This is how, and people can think differently from me. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not going to go and cry in a corner. But yes, he was resisting. I don't think it was violent. It was nonviolent resist, but he was resisting. He was yelling a whole lot. He was saying that he couldn't breathe. I don't think that he was saying that he could. I don't think he was yelling, I can't breathe, because he was having an overdose. I think that that's like a, I think he was yelling that because it's almost at this point, I've seen that repeated at a lot of different protests with police, even before Floyd, that this particular case, it's like the hands up, don't shoot. I've heard it repeated a lot, and I've seen it on signs, and that's what I think it was. And when they pulled up on him, and they opened the door, and he was going to get out of the car, he had a foot on the ground, and there was at one point, he gets out and he puts a foot on the ground. They had a pistol drawn on him, service sidearm drawn on him, and he was, I think publicly he was making himself appear to be, before all of that happened, making himself to be a sympathetic figure for the people, the passerby who were standing there watching. But I don't think that, I just don't agree with any argument that says Chauvin needed to put his knee on the neck like that. There's no argument that anybody's going to be able to make to me that's going to make that in any way acceptable. It's just not. I mean, if Floyd was trying to, you know, go for the cop's gun like Mike Brown was, if Floyd was, you know, resisting violently, then that would be one that would, well, that would be a different argument. But I don't see that as I don't see the case for that maneuver. Furthermore, there was discussion back and forth in the courtroom as to whether or not it was even protocol, and it wasn't. But I do think we should be, you got to be careful with this stuff because you're talking about people's lives here. Yes, other people's lives. And you don't get justice for one lost life by taking another. So, and you want to know what the facts are. I mean, there are entire neighborhoods that have burned, people. You want to know what the facts are. They were having this discussion, and I went into this like rabbit hole of, what is it? Oh my gosh, hypoxia and the issue of fentanyl and methamphetamine, because they found both of those in Floyd's body. And everything, to me, I'm just looking at it and it's still speculative because they've had expert witnesses on either side that have said, yes, this contributed, no, it didn't. And I love how Twitter wants to pretend to be all expert toxicologists, but I don't know how this is going to conclude, though. What I do know is this. I do feel as though you have the same people, the same media, you know, etc., that I think that media wants to see riots this summer. It just feels that way with the way that they approach everything. I want to play this. This is Audio Soundbite 17. This is one of the Black Lives Matter activists who said that if Chauvin is not convicted, then there are going to be cities burning. Listen to this.
If George Floyd's murderer is not sentenced, just know that all hell is going to break loose. Don't be surprised when buildings are on fire.
Are there any more buildings to burn, though?
Not many.
Yeah, I am kind of curious. I mean, what is left to burn at this point? Now, the charges that he's facing, and I don't want to get a ton in the weeds with this, but at some point I think we will as this trial goes on, because people don't understand reasonable doubt and why you have to be so very careful with these, with the discussion on what was in the toxicology report, etc. So the charges that Chauvin, the serious one that he's facing is second degree felony murder. And so second degree felony murder is unintentional murder. So that's one of the charges that he's facing. The other officers, I think they get, what is their date in August? Because there are three other officers that were charged, and I think that their trial dates are coming up like in August. Their charges are aiding and abetting second degree murder and aiding and abetting second degree manslaughter. So the charge that Chauvin faces is this charge of his second degree. Well, I mean, it's the unintentional murder charge. It's second degree felony murder, the unintentional murder. And that is based on the way that the way that prosecution is putting it. The claim isn't that they were trying to murder him. The claim, it's that it's an unintentional. Yeah, and Kane cites, and I have this in my notes, Kane cites Andy McCarthy. They're looking at, this is where it gets into some of the recklessness and how careful the defense has to be and how careful prosecution has to be, because they are looking at his Floyd's prior record, which I think is irrelevant to this particular action here. They said that he had violent armed robbery. He served several years in prison, etc. But while I think that that might inform you as to how cautious you should act when engaging with that individual, I think you do obviously have to adapt your reaction to the reaction that you are receiving from that individual with whom you are engaged in this, in policing. Does that make sense? So this, the charges that the unintentional, they're also looking at, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Chauvin caused the death of Floyd. And then that gets into, he's got a third degree assault charge that they have to show that he assaulted or attempted to assault Floyd. And in doing so, he brought about substantial or inflicted substantial bodily harm. And if they can, if prosecution can get a conviction that Chauvin committed third degree assault when he had his knee on his neck, then I don't see how they don't convict him of the more serious charge at that point, that he unintentionally, and that's the charge that they're going for, caused his death. And they said that, you know, really the only intent is the, that they need to show is the attempt to commit an underlying felony. That's what his lawyer said. What prosecution's, or yeah, prosecution said. But they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Floyd's death was caused by Chauvin's, what they call culpable negligence. Meaning that he was the one who created the unreasonable risk of great bodily harm. And so this is when you bring up the other drug stuff. If there's something else that shares that, then and you're putting doubts in people's mind, that's what brings up the reasonable doubt. And that's what can endanger that conviction. Whew. It's going to be, man, it's going to be something else. Let me tell you. People were wondering why he wasn't charged with first degree murder, which is the most serious. But you have to have premeditation with that. Like you have to have, what is it? Premeditation. He has to have been shown planning it. There have to be other variables involved. And I don't think that it meets that. Plus, I hope people realize too, if they were to charge him with that most serious offense and you have to prove premeditation and everything else, they would lose that and everything absolutely would burn. In some instances, they will go for a lower charge that they absolutely know they can get a conviction on to avoid stuff like that. And it makes me wonder if that wasn't some of the play in here. But it's, whew, I'm telling you what, it's going to, and of course, then you're going to go through it all again in August when these other three officers go up. We have more in store, including the latest with voters turning on Biden as it relates to his handling of the border crisis and tech. We've got that. And we're going to talk to the owner of Tin Horn Flats coming up, so you don't want to miss a single bit of that part of the program.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This headline is actually kind of funny. This is NBC Channel 6, South Florida. North Florida officers find an emotional support snake during a DUI traffic stop. They did joke about it, and they said the snake was not driving, but it was. They said that police officers in the Florida Panhandle, during a DUI stop, they found what a guy said was his emotional support snake. It's a python. They did not release information on what happened to the python or its owner, but I didn't even know that people could have. It's Fort Walton Beach.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
What emotion would it support?
Well, aren't support animals?
Yeah, I don't know.
Emotional support animals aren't. Like anxiety.
I'm just trying to figure out what a snake would help with as far as emotions are concerned.
I think it would make me nervous. But it's a python, so it's, I guess, what, it's like cuter.
Constrictor.
Yeah, I don't know. But they posted, Fort Walton Beach Police posted on Facebook about it. Let's see here, a couple of other ones. A naked Florida man hip thrusts a Lee Acres tree before punching a deputy in the face. A naked Florida man was accused of wandering around Lee Acres, naked, pounding on doors. 21-year-old Alonso Sanchez, he was high as a kite on dope when deputies found him hugging and hip-thrusting a tree. Drivers kept having to swerve. They were called originally police because he was running into the street naked, causing drivers to swerve. When deputies tried to apprehend him, Sanchez punched one of the deputies in the face. So they did handcuff him. They took him to the hospital because of the drugs in his system. He's got a battery charge and a law enforcement officer. He's in Lee County Jail. And the tree is okay. Ew. Stay with us.
Every adult in every state, every adult in this country is eligible to get in line to get a COVID vaccination. And today, in advance of that new national full eligibility date, I want to make a direct appeal to our seniors and everyone who cares about them.
What? Eligibility? That's President Biden from the Harris administration. Welcome. Hi, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Dun, dun, dun. Make sure you do it. All good things. All good things. And the coronavirus, the Vax Pass or the Vax Port. What do you like better? Vax Pass or Vax Port?
I think Vax Pass.
Vax Pass. Because you can make a jingle out of it. Yeah, they, no. I don't know if that's going to be something that they're actually going to be able to do, really. I just don't see. But now, that doesn't mean I trust them when they say they're not going to do it. Because that's one of the things that Psaki had said. She had, this is Audio Soundbite 14. She was asked about this yesterday, about Vax Pass. And this is her response. Listen.
One on vaccine again. Is there any thought being given to a federally organized vaccine passport of some kind? Does the president see that maybe as some kind of tool that could be used, or would he lean more on the side of people who have raised objections over privacy and so on?
Well, let me be very clear on this. I know there's been lots of questions. The government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential. There will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential.
Hmm. I want that to be true. And I
save
want them.
Audio.
Save it. Yes. Save this audio forever, because I really want this to be true. I really want this to be true. I don't know if it's because we were told. I just go back to, remember when Fauci said you don't have to wear masks? And then you got to wear masks, 6 feet of them at all times. He is a Spaceballs character. You know, I'm right. So forgive me if I'm a little suspicious of you. Just forgive me if I don't necessarily believe you. Just saying. Think it might be. Yeah, I just don't know if I just don't know if I trust him. I don't know. All right, a couple of other things I want to make sure we touch on. Oh, and before we get, guys, we were talking about the Major League Baseball Georgia stuff. Did you know Patagonia also requires you, because I really am on them right now, in addition to making their clothing in communist China, the majority of it, and manufacturing it in communist China, and even bragging about how they have lower prices, or because they do it because of the cheap labor, they also require a photo ID to pick up curbside orders. Oh, yeah, I am petty, because they were.
Racist.
Mm-hmm. Racist. That's racist. It's what I was told, reliably informed. Just putting it up there. Just saying. One of the big things that is going to happen at some point, and this fight is a brewing, not quite sure when it's going to happen. I made mention of this yesterday, is the situation with tech and speech, and how is that going to be regulated? If it is going to, can you even regulate it? I'm pulling up all my notes on this. Can you even regulate it? I don't even know. I just don't see how you do it, and you're still. This had all of this started with a a written opinion here from Clarence Thomas. And Clarence Thomas, let me pull this up. He had, this was Supreme Court of the United States. It was the, this was a, it was basically Biden versus Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. And it's a note in this decision that about the Second Circuit Court. And the note that he made is informing a lot of people. This was a, it was a ruling for a writ in the case of Biden versus Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. And so they wanted, in his opinion, he was, they're sending the case back to the U.S. Court of Appeals, Second Circuit. They're dismissing the whole thing as moot because Biden is in the White House. And this case is like from summer, last summer, and it centered on whether or not it was whether or not it was keeping with the First Amendment to strip government officials of their ability to block third-party accounts on Twitter if the account is used to conduct official business. And so the lower court ruled that Trump violated the First Amendment when he was blocking people on the platform because it serves as a public platform or a public forum, remember? Oh, but no, I know, but wait, this is because if that's, I mean, how can you take it away if it's a public forum and it's like a government thing? How can you take it away? Oh my gosh. Now, remember when I said it's going to be the tech companies that ultimately screw themselves the hardest? Lo, they screwed themselves the hardest. So this is what Thomas writes. And I was reading this and I'm like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Quote, I write separately to note that this petition highlights the principal legal difficulty that surrounds digital platforms, namely that applying old doctrines to new digital platforms is rarely straightforward. It seems rather odd to say that something is a government forum when a private company has unrestricted authority to do away with it. The disparity between Twitter's control and Mr. Trump's control is stark, to say the least. He said today's digital platforms provide avenues for historically unprecedented amounts of speech, including speech by government actors. Also unprecedented, however, is the concentrated control of so much speech in the hands of a few private parties. We will soon have no choice but to address how our legal doctrines apply to highly concentrated, privately owned information infrastructure such as digital platforms. And he got into how they can suppress content by de-indexing or downlisting search results and, you know, Amazon with, you know, books, et cetera, et cetera. This basically he's saying there's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. Now, there were some people who are not lawyers like Clarence Thomas who thought that they're worried about whether or not this is going to be added to, you know, if this is going to be infrastructure or what, or there's, I get there. People are having concerns about regulating it as a utility. I get it. But what he's kind of, what it seems to be suggesting, he writes in here, if part of the problem is private concentrated control over online content and platforms available to the public, then part of the solution may be found in doctrines that limit the right of a private company to exclude. Historically, at least, two legal doctrines limit a company's right to exclude. First, our legal system and its British predecessor have long subjected certain businesses known as common carriers to special regulations, including a general requirement to serve all comers. This is going to be I'm really fascinated by this because things are, this is kind of, in a way, it's unexplored territory. It really is. And we're gearing up for a fight. That's what it's going to be. A big, giant slap fight. And he makes a very good point. When you have these companies especially when you have one court that, and it seems to be widely determined that, well, if you're a public official and this is going to be a public forum, then how are these private companies able to just, you know, take that away unilaterally? Now, if you don't understand why this case was rendered moot and sent back, it's because Trump isn't president and he was banned from Twitter. So the Supreme Court said, well, this is, you know, it's a moot point while we're arguing here. But Thomas not only concurred with the decision, he wrote separately because he was raising questions about this, about the power of social media and how weird it is, this idea that you have a public official whose feed and posts or tweets or whatever, because it's not really, I think, limited to Twitter. It's considered a government forum, but it's controlled by a private company that is completely unrestricted in terminating the activity. So there's a big, big, big question. And there are a lot of people that are raising these questions. I also want to bring this up because this is where we're getting to with, you know, we discussed the Asa Hutchinson thing, the governor of Arkansas and his ridiculous interview. I have sometimes I kind of wonder if people understand constitutional principle or what a conservative is or what it really means to limit the control of government. And I was thinking about this. I wrote, for those of you who are subscribers to Chapter and Verse, my newsletter, I outlined, and I'm not getting into the vax pass specifically with this. There's a different issue that involves the vax pass. I was having a conversation. I was telling you about this yesterday with a friend who, because you have Governor Greg Abbott, Texas, who came out with an executive order yesterday banning any entity that receives taxpayer dollars from requiring a vax pass if they're going to be admitted. And in Florida, they used, you know, even private businesses. But the weird thing is that there were some people who were trying to say that, and I like DeSantis. I mean, if I had to pick my favorite governor, I think it probably would be him, you know, thus far. But I compared the two, the two documents from both governors and compared the language. And I think that it's being really oversold, the idea of difference between both of them, because when you look at it, one is prohibiting any taxpayer funded entity from requiring vax ports or vax passes. And DeSantis says that if you're not following the prohibition, you won't receive taxpayer funds like grants. And I completely agree that any kind of taxpayer entity, but any taxpayer funded entity, you should not be able to demand anything like this. Please note, though, there are a lot of small businesses that received government funding through the last coronavirus relief or whatever that would be affected by this. But I think we got to be careful and remember that things can go both ways, because like I said, the bake the cake, that's a variable. It's an interchangeable action. I mean, you're just taking an item and plugging. This is a variable in a logical formula. You're going to get the same conclusion. And I want to be careful that we don't avoid one compromising position by putting ourselves into another one. So the question is down to, you know, if a government cannot force a private business to bake a cake, can they then also force that private business to not ask for a vaccination card or vice versa? I mean, if you can tell a business that they can't require something, can you also later demand that that business require it? And why are we giving to government the jurisdiction of what the free market can do? Why would we cede the power of the free market to the government? I mean, I believe that that's more powerful than the strong arm of the state. So I agree that any entity or business that gets taxpayer funding, they should follow those mandates, right? But I also understand the objections from my friends that say these private businesses and corporations are more often than not acting like agents of the progressive left. I agree. But is appealing to government the best way to mitigate this? Is it the best way to handle this? Is it still the responsibility of the state to make it fair? And that's the big question with this. It all comes down to that. We have a lot of very liberty-minded issues that we're going to be dealing with. I mean, we have the tech, that the balancing the interest and respecting the intellectual property of private businesses with free speech, and then also this. So there's a lot of stuff to discuss. Now, speaking of the state and private business, we're going to be talking to the owner of Tin Horn Flats. This is a restaurant. I'm going to get you up to date with that. That's crazy. It's a saga for it's a freedom saga. We're going to talk about that coming up, so you don't want to miss it.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I'm going to have to watch more Sri Lankan beauty pageants because, dang, BBC reports that Mrs. Sri Lanka, the beauty queen, was injured in an onstage catfight. So the winner of it's a huge Sri Lankan beauty contest, has suffered head injuries. Beauty queen Pushpika Da Silva won the Mrs. Sri Lanka at a ceremony on national TV on Sunday. Moments later, the 2019 winner seized Mrs. Da Silva's crown, claiming she could not be awarded the title because she was divorced, even though the woman actually wasn't divorced. So the prize was returned to Mrs. Da Silva after pageant organizers confirmed that she was not a divorcee. And she like walks up to her on video and rips the crown off her head. It took hair out of her scalp. And the actual legitimate winner was very upset about it and walked off the stage. I mean, girl, you could have taken her is all I'm saying. Like, you were bigger, like your arms are long. You could have definitely, like, you could have taken her. Tim Cook wants Americans to be able to vote with their iPhones. You know, the things that get hacked all the time. No, I don't think so. San Francisco office vacancy hits an all-time high, surpassing what happened during the dot-com bust. Rental prices have only fallen somewhat. Up next, the owner of Tin Horn Flats.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter, everybody. And I've been telling you, we talked about this story before, this whole fight against these very arbitrary lockdowns. And we all like science, right? We love science. Yeah, high five to science. It's all great. But a lot of us, a lot of reasonable people become very suspicious of things when they are not presented accurately. When there's a lot of, you know, walking back, like wear masks, don't wear masks, all of this kind of stuff. It's been really difficult over a year now, watching all of these small businesses struggle to comply with what seem to be very arbitrary restrictions and guidelines and demands. And I think that there are a lot of people in positions of city leadership across the country that have turned into little tyrants and have really, I think, taken joy in ruining the livelihood, or trying to, of some of these businesses. We were talking about Shelley Luther and the salon, or just the women who, they actually set up a sting out in West Texas to bust some cosmetologists for the love. I mean, they were like doing, you know, of their own volition. They knew, it's just insane. I've been watching the story with Tin Horn Flats in Birmingham. My friend Nick Searcy was the one who tipped me off to this. And this timeline is crazy. This all began in, oh my gosh, going all the way back to the beginning of it, December 6th of last year. And this is when they had all of these, you know, these lockdown orders going across the country. In Southern California, they had a state order temporarily prohibiting indoor and outdoor dining. LAist has a really good timeline of this. They were going back and forth. Tin Horn Flats, which is, by the way, it's a great restaurant, pub, saloon. I mean, it's pretty iconic. I haven't been there. I would love to go. I mean, they have swinging doors for the love. It's just fantastic. And they have barbecue, too, from what I understand. And they said they're going to remain open regardless of state and county health orders. And then it got crazier. LA County Department of Health, they suspended the health permit for Tin Horn Flats. Then they went in and they started revoking this and that. They shut off their power. This has been going on since December of 2020, early December. I watched as they were trying to padlock the doors, and then they've been going after the son of the owner, putting him in jail. They tried to shut off their power and then cite them for the city shutting off their power. And then they put sandbags. One of the things that I saw, they put sandbags in front of the door and were threatening to arrest people if they moved a sandbag. This is insane. Joining us right now is Barrett Lapagian. He is the owner of the Tin Horn Flats Saloon and Grill. Barrett, it's good to have you. Welcome to the show. And we stand with you in your fight for freedom. This is crazy. I mean, you're being harassed by the city at this point, especially as everything else is starting to reopen.
This is a total. Thanks for having me, Dana. Yeah, this is a total vendetta at this point. This, as you know, I've always said, you know, on social media and wherever else I can say, this has nothing to do with health or public safety. This is only about fear and control, especially what's happening now. Everywhere else is open, and they're arresting my kid. And, you know, they just arrested him yesterday. He was on the sidewalk just near the restaurant when they arrested him. They copped him and took him away. And that's the third time in, like, 5 days.
Wow. So when did they shut off your power? And then I know you got a generator because you guys are very resilient. And I love that because they put on Instagram, thanks, Louise, for the generator and lights. Everybody come down and have some barbecue. I mean, that's like that in that, you know, American spirit. They shut off your power. Then they try to cite you for not having power that they shut off.
That's right. So they shut off our power and they turned off our phone lines. And then they came back in and started saying things like, well, your exit signs aren't lit. Well, they're not lit because we don't have power and they're hardwired to code. You know, so yeah, there's never been a health violation at Tin Horn Flats that says anything to do with real health requirements. Everything has to do with this lockdown or them pulling our permits. I mean, it's just, it really is insane at this point.
Yeah, they revoked your health permit because they said that you were still having outdoor dining. And I want everyone to keep in mind, they're still doing this to them, even as all of these other restaurants are reopening and doing the same thing. But Burbank has it in for Tin Horn Flats for some reason. Now they've, from what I understand, they filed a lawsuit at the beginning of last month because of they said that you were a public nuisance. Then they required you to cease operations, which you didn't do, and other people are being supportive. March 16th, that's when the LA County Superior Court ruled that the city of Burbank can padlock your doors, which were promptly unpadlocked. And then, did I see correctly yesterday that the city was putting sandbags in front of the doors, and they sent people out to threaten to arrest anyone that removed a sandbag?
Yes. Both entrances, we have a side entrance and a front entrance. They're sandbagged. And what I was going to say earlier is, and I'm not joking when I say this, they sent out the SWAT team. Okay, there's a photograph on our Instagram account. By the way, our Facebook account has been deleted. And the reason it was deleted, I've never been in Facebook jail. I don't, you know, I keep my thoughts on Facebook pretty straightforward. They deleted it because I asked our supporters to call up the Burbank City Council member, who's really the one that's thrown the wrench in all this. He's the one that's against us. And because of that one post, my Facebook page is gone with 7,000, 8,000 supporters.
Wow. So now even tech is getting in on it because you were asking people just simply, which they should do, voters, to reach out to the city council. Now, because from what I've understand from everybody that I've spoken to that's familiar with your establishment, they were like, they were following all the protocols that all these other restaurants are following. The only thing is that they didn't, as a lot of other businesses, I might add, didn't believe that the city had the right to tell a private entity to seize their ability to engage in commerce. And because you're still going to be expected to pay property tax, even though they're trying to seize your ability to actually make the funds to pay the property tax, you're still going to be expected to do that. You were just one of the many other businesses, not just in California, but around the country, that in the beginning said, you can't shut us down. We've got bills to pay. We've got employees to pay. We have livelihoods here. And so this all stems from that first initial refusal.
That's correct. I mean, the thing about it is, when we opened back up, Dana, we were following all the protocol. Yeah. We did not open up inside. My staff was wearing their masks. We were only outside. So, I mean, we were trying to do all the right things. And one other thing that you did not mention was that the Burbank City Council has now taken away our conditional use permit, which is basically your right to exist. And they pulled that because we don't have a health permit. So it's just sort of like the domino effect. They just keep taking one permit and then taking away another permit because you don't have the first permit. And I just wanted to say, you know, without the conditional use permit, you know, there's rules and laws associated with that. I still follow everything that my conditional use permit has always asked me, whether I have these permits or don't have these permits, I still follow the rules. But, you know, like I said, the Burbank PD has decided that, you know, the only way to deal with me is to send their full SWAT team. And I'm not joking. I'm talking about the full stormtroopers coming in.
Yeah, I saw some of the images from that, which that was really shocking. We're speaking with Barrett Lapagian, who's the owner of Tin Horn Flat Saloon and Grill in Burbank, and the city of Burbank's been trying to shut them down from the very beginning. Tin Horn Flats, they followed all the rules, stayed open, so then they go, they revoke their health permit, and then from that they revoke their conditional use permit because they said you don't have a health permit because they revoked it. They're creating the problem to continually cite you. This is persecution, absolute persecution. Has anyone in Burbank government at all defended you and spoke out against this? Because this is tyranny.
It really is. You know, with Mark Garagos, my attorney, we had a Zoom meeting with the mayor, the vice mayor, and their prosecutors, and that must have been about 2 weeks ago. And you know, I felt the mayor was very genuine, and he reached out to me, you know, and he said, look, we need to make this thing go away for your sake and our sake. And I said, fine, let's find a happy medium here where, you know, you guys end up looking okay, and you know, I'm not going to close. I mean, that's the bottom line. Just let me know. I mean, if you want me to close for a few days or whatever, we got to do something that works. That's it. I mean, he never reached out again. My attorney's been trying to reach them. So basically, that was the end of the conversation. And instead of keeping some kind of a dialogue going, they sent the SWAT team in.
Wow. I mean, that was crazy to see those images. And I've been seeing, like I said, telling everyone, we're talking to Barrett Lapagian, owner of Tin Horn Flat Saloon and Grill. The sandbags, I saw the pictures of the sandbags that they put in front of the doors. And you've been operating on the patio. You've been following, despite everything that the city's been doing to you. You've also received a lot of support from the public. Tell me about that.
I mean, that's really, really been a very humbling experience. You know, we have a GoFundMe page, and, you know, it's incredible. So these people are not only bringing generators, bringing gas for the generators, protesting outside our doors, you know, in our favor. But, you know, I mean, they're financially trying to help us. It's amazing. And, you know, it's not only has it gone nationally at this point, but Sky News has talked about it. So this thing has gone international. Now I get letters from Australia, from Europe, it's amazing, but I got to tell you, Dana, it's really starting to wear heavily on me. And my poor 20-year-old son, he's been in jail 3 times. I mean, it's just, this isn't an experience that I really wanted. But on the other hand, he feels as strongly or stronger than I do. I mean, for me, it's a little bit difficult because, you know, I just, it's the safety of my kids. I have a 25-year-old daughter and a 20-year-old son, and they're both involved in this business. That's the paramount concern. So I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place right now, you know. Mm. My plans right now is I'm going to wait till Friday. I don't want my son, because as soon as he gets within a few feet of the building, they're cuffing him. By the way, Burbank now has undercover detectives and vice, this is a fact, surveillancing the restaurant. So that's really where we're at. So if we come near it, they send the police in. So that, I mean, we're really outmatched with law enforcement right now.
How do you see this? Well, before I ask you this last question, we're talking to Barrett Lapagian, who's the owner of Tin Horn Flat Saloon and Grill, which has become kind of really sort of the focal point and kind of the avatar, so to speak, for this business resistance to these really nonsensical orders, the lockdown orders coming from different states and different governments across different local governments across the country. A lot of people, I think, misunderstand business owners like yourself when you remain open and you still follow the guidelines, because it's not, and talk to me about this, it's not a fist in the air, you're just doing it out of spite. I mean, it is your livelihood. I mean, this is you. I mean, you just were telling me how your children are also involved in this. It's truly a family business. And I mean, there are people whose incomes, whose livelihoods depend on your ability, your restaurant's ability, your entity's ability to engage in commerce. Talk to me about why you decided to disregard those lockdown orders and do what you did.
Dana, let me just say this, and I'm not speaking for myself here. I'm speaking, I honestly feel like I'm speaking for every restaurant owner. Being a restaurant owner, a small restaurant owner, I'm not talking about In-N-Out Burgers or the big chains. I don't know how they do it. Being a small restaurant owner, it's exceptionally difficult and challenging just to pay your bills. There's days you do not make money. Okay, I mean, between the happy hours and this and that and, you know, the takeout food without getting into names, the services that do it, you take 20, 30%. You know, I've always compared the restaurant business to a pie. At this point, especially in California, 95% of your pie is eaten before you get to have a slice, and you don't even have a slice. So that being said, I have nothing to lose. You know, if I had stayed closed, I would have lost it anyway. I mean, none of the, just like you said, none of the costs go away. Not my satellite bill, not my, the power doesn't go away just because I have people there or not. All my fridges are on. I mean, you know, if I cut the power and I have 18 beers on draft, they go bad. So my point is, what have I got to lose? There's so much overhead in a restaurant and really so little payback. This is what I'll say, Dana. Given that I have nothing to lose, I'll go down with the ship at this point. Seeing what I've seen from the Burbank City Council and how reckless and how far left they are, and seeing how they're dealing with a small business owner, with law enforcement coming in with shotguns, and you know what? Fine. They literally have the wrong guy, Dana. I will sacrifice everything I have, but I'm not going to stand down.
And there are a lot of people who are going to find a lot of encouragement in that, and I think draw from that strength and do the same in their own states in dealing with something similar. Barrett Lapagian, your son Lucas Lapagian, and the family that operates Tinhorn Flats, they do have a legal defense fund. It is over at GoFundMe, and I'll make sure that we send that out. But it's look for GoFundMe and search for Tinhorn Flats Legal Defense Fund. We're going to follow the story, Barrett. Last quick thing. How can people help you besides the GoFundMe? How can they help?
You know, just show up. I mean, unfortunately, that's where we're at. Just show up. I don't even mean like as a customer. Just come support in front of the restaurant. Let these people know that there's a lot of good patriots that care about our way of life. Because that's really what this is about.
Yep.
This isn't about one restaurant or pouring beer. They're trying to set what they call a new normal and change the way we've known how to live. And that's unacceptable.
I agree. Barrett Lapagian, we're Godspeed, my friend. We're going to be watching this story, and we'll keep in touch with you. And if you have any developments, obviously the microphone's open. Feel free to give us a holler. We'll have you back on, and you can keep people apprised of everything. But we're watching, and we support. Barrett, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dana.
Of course.